This year is a very exciting year. It's a very challenging year. God's doing amazing things this year. And I don't know if you experienced that in your own life. Been speaking to a few people. Some people said this year has been a really easy year. And God bless you. And for others, this has been the toughest year ever. And I'm thankful I'm not you. But for most of us, it's been rather an interesting, tough year. But you'll also notice, and I don't know if this is throughout the banks, but it's like there's a real grace to get through it this year. Have you noticed that? In the past, it would have been harder to go through what you're going through. And I've definitely experienced that in my own life, and it's something that we were speaking about as intercessors a little earlier. But it's like there's a great grace for us to go through these waves that we're experiencing. When the past probably would have taken us out, and the past it would have been really hectic. It's like God's given a dispensation of grace for us to handle what is coming. And earlier this year, for those that are new, just so you can backtrack a little, the Lord said that it's going to be a real year of... So God spoke to us as leadership, and we're talking this year about God's building. And we're going to start next week with a series. Andrew's going to take front. And we're going to talk through God's building and what God is showing us. We're going to speak through Revelations. We're going to speak through the temple. And it's been alluding towards that. And God, right in the beginning of the year, spoke to me about empowering. God wants to empower us. And I spoke about why does God empower us? What is his empowerment for? And if you're not on board, all our sermons are recorded. Please go get the iPod or wherever. I think we're still almost on iPod. On iTunes or wherever, but go to the show for online, go download our sermons, are there, and come and walk with us, and let's walk this together. And that's what this year really is about. It's not about someone standing up in front and we say, thus saith the Lord, and everyone goes, yon, amen. It's a partnership that we have here. Now really, if you don't feel part of that, and you're really struggling to feel the partnership, please come speak to us about it. Don't let us hear at the end of the year you've gone to Emirates or some random country like that, because you're just not making the COVID in this church, and the only place that you can go is some Arab country. Alright. So we start with the message. So God's been speaking to me about momentum, and I put up an original plan, and I was going to put P equals VM, okay? Thank you to the engineers. The only problem is I have no idea what that means. And it gave a sum like this where P equals the da-da-da-da, and they use these massive words with velocity times the mass, and I was going to go, like, if anyone asks me anything about it, I'm going to be caught out and I look stupid. So I'm just not going to put that up tonight. I'm just going to say that tonight I'm going to speak about spiritual momentum. And Greg, I hope you don't mind, as Andrea was saying, I'm going to take what God has given you, and we're going to take a little further. If you haven't heard Greg's sermon, it really is a prophetic word for his life. It's something that God has given him personally, but it's a prophetic word for us for this year, and I really want to encourage you to go listen to that sermon. And he speaks about intimacy with God. And so this evening, I'm going to take it one step further. And Andre was preaching 2 weeks ago in the tents last week. And I'm going to try and put the two together or the three together and sort of just put us on the same page just before we step into what Andre's going to be preaching about in the next 3 weeks with the sermon series. Is that all right? So I believe God's speaking to us about spiritual momentum. And the best way to think of momentum, as I was looking through every clip in YouTube and got myself very sidetracked, here we go to the next slide. Momentum. So you get momentum in music, you get momentum in life. Anyone that's been in a car crash will know about momentum. It's one of those things you don't want, is momentum, and then the car doesn't want to stop in time. But there's also a place where it's not just physical momentum, it's spiritual momentum. Where P equals MV or VM in the spirit realm. And I believe the two things that the Lord is enlightening to me to share this evening with us is twofold. And so we're going to go to the next scripture, the first scripture please, which Greg was so kind to share. And Amos 9, verse 11, and it says, "In that day I will restore the fallen house of David. I will repair its damaged walls from the ruins. I will rebuild it and restore it its former glory." And as Greg was preaching this, I started asking God the following question. What is the wall that he's repairing? What is the damaged wall that God repairing for us now? So looking at it prophetically, as Greg shared it, what is that wall? And I believe he already touched on one of those parts that is very important to understand, and that is intimacy. We have to have intimacy with Christ. Now tonight there's two people, two of us, two camps. I'm going to divide us in two camps. Is that right? Well, those that are on the left, we're in the left camp, and the right camp, I'm joking. We can split each other up and challenge each other out. So we have a beat off or something. I'm sure Ryan will love that. We can mix it up and get DJ Lecrae in the house. Who knows who Lecrae is? It's a Christian rap gospel. Get it, do it, go funky on it. And we can have a beat off tonight. And we can have a dance off and do all the spins and stuff. And we can see who wins. And there'll be a prize. You can take Nemo home with you. But there's two camps that I believe that God has revealed to me. There's many of us, and you're going to have to focus on this, because this is going to get complicated, because you're going to think I'm really whack. There's some of us that's following Jesus, and we're a follower of Christ, right? And there's some of us that are intimate and seek intimacy with Christ. But not many of us do both. Are you with me? So I'll go through it again. Some of us are followers of Christ. And some of us are seeking intimacy with Christ. Few of us do both. And it's really, 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 really important for us to do both. And that's what we're going to go into this evening. So I'm going to move along to the next scripture now. Christ says, "My sheep, listen to my voice." So there's this one scripture where Christ says, "My sheep," everyone, "hear my voice." Other scripture, "My sheep, hear my voice." This one says, "My sheep, listen to my voice." Now this is a problem that every married woman understands when she speaks to her husband. Many of us husbands hear our wives, but we're not listening. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Then he said to the crowd, being Jesus, "If any of you want to be my followers, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." Another scripture there. Matthew 16. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Next slide. "And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." One of the first things that Jesus was speaking to the four first disciples, and he said, "Let go of your nets, stop the fishing, I'm going to make you fishers of men." And they just let go of everything, and they followed Christ. And then finally, the scripture that I would like to agree with this theme is, "But Jesus said unto them, follow me and let the dead bury the dead." One of those really horrible scriptures. We're not going to go into this evening. There's a call that God gives us. There's a call that Christ does when he says, "Follow me." And for some of us, that's quite easy. We go, "I'm willing to follow you, Jesus." But here's the question.
When we are following Jesus, where is Jesus taking us?
Oh, you guys are awesome. Such a great question. Thanks for that.
Where is God taking us?
We'll get back to that. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now this is a scripture that's very well known. It's the scripture about the rich young ruler that comes to Christ and he asks him, "Lord, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to be saved?" And most of us know the scripture pretty well. And it goes on that Christ says something very interesting. Christ says, "Why do you call me good?" Now my first question is Christ good? Yes. So why would Christ ask him, "Why do you call me good?" Christ sees something in his heart that he wants to come and bring and elevate. I really love this scripture so much because everywhere through it, Christ never exposes this man. Remember, it's in front of a crowd, and he doesn't go to this guy and say, "Listen, you sinner, you have done this, 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 and this, and this, and you need to repent somewhere now, and this, 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 and this." That's not Christ's heart. He never shames the rich young ruler. Do you notice that? But let's take a step back. How did the rich young ruler come to Christ? So let's put it into today's terms. The guy pulls down the road in his Lamborghini. He climbs out of his Lamborghini. Right? He's got a Zenith watch. Okay, for those of you that don't know a Zenith watch, he has an aviator watch. A Rolex. Okay? We're getting cheaper, if you can call that cheaper. Alright? He walks out, he's got a 100,000 rand watch on. He's got one of those bling-bling rings. His car blings. Everything blings. And can you see him climbing out and swaggering? Walking like rich people walk. Armani and all those things. Walking up to Jesus and says, "Lord." Is that not how we see the rich young ruler, how he comes to Christ? Not? Is that not how you see him coming to Christ? That's how I always thought he came to Christ. But scripture says, he runs to Jesus. So you are at the office, right? And you're doing tax at the lawyers. And the next thing, this guy comes running down the passage. I don't know if I was blessed to walk down the passages of the lawyers a few weeks ago, and I don't think anyone breathes there, never mind, runs. And they run up to Byron and they go, "Byron, what must I do to get this tax answer?" Has anyone experienced that in their workplace? Byron, that's probably one of your friends, Byron, came running afterwards when they're about to get taken out. Yeah, maybe the doctors, I think they'll experience something more like that, you know. "Doctor, doctor, please come." Someone lost their arm. Alright. But in a normal day, in a normal day's work, no one comes running down and asks you a question at work. I have seldom, in all the altar calls that I've experienced over my many years of being saved, seen anyone run to the front to get saved. That's what this rich man was doing. He ran and he knelt before the Lord. This guy wants to follow Jesus. Would you agree with me? So Christ says to him, "Listen, but have you done these few things?" And he names some of the Ten Commandments, and the guy rattles them off. "Lord, I've done all of this as a young age already." And God says, "Awesome. But look at this." It says, looking at the man, Jesus felt
out of that love, he says, there's still one thing you haven't done. Go and sell all you have. Give it to the poor. And follow me.
See, this man was willing to follow Christ, but he was not wanting the intimacy of Christ, because the idol in his life was too big. Are you with me?
So, where am I going with this? Great question.
This scripture is mentioned, the story is mentioned twice in scripture. And if something's mentioned twice in scripture, learn it, know it, get it, got it, good. Okay? If something is mentioned three times in scripture, learn it, memorize it, live it. Do it and do it. Amen. If it's written more than that, really get that under the belt. Okay? God doesn't repeat himself for no rhyme or reason.
What does it take to be a disciple?
To be a disciple, it takes two things. It takes intimacy, and it takes us to follow Christ. Listen to this. Listen carefully.
We cannot follow Jesus without intimacy. This will lead to us following man. It will lead to legalism and ultimately condemnation. If you want to follow Jesus without having intimacy with him, where did this happen? The Israelites. Remember with Moses?
Exodus 9, verse 1. Can we go down to Exodus 9? It says, God spoke to Moses and said, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, said. Let my people go so that they may, three of you can go worship, that they may, all of us are going to go worship.
God didn't want them to go into the promised land and bless them and give them all of those things before they came to the man, the God, the presence of God, so that they may worship him. God desired the whole of Israel to have intimacy with him. It was his first and foremost plan for all of us.
So when you want to follow Christ, but you don't want intimacy, you're going to look up to the leader that speaks, that stands here and says, this is the word of the Lord. This is what God's saying for the year. And he's going to lead you to legalism. Because what's going to happen is you're going to want to do more works so that you can keep on following Jesus. Are you with me? Now, remember, which camp are you? Maybe you've got both right. Maybe you want to grow in one of the two. Maybe you've got none of them right. But let's this evening seek our hearts and come before God and see, are we seeking God, or at least are we following Jesus, but not the way he's actually saying, because we want it our own way, because we are fearful of interceding with God, with the Father. We'll get to that now. The second part of it is, you cannot have intimacy with Jesus without following him. This will lead to isolation, pride, lawlessness, self-worship, and ultimate deception. See, this is where we create God in our own image. Are you with me? So, a lot of people these days are seeking, let me explain this a little better, are seeking signs and wonders. It's all about experience, 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 experience. And if I don't experience God in the church tonight, then I'm going to another church because I want experience, I want to have intimacy. And seeking experiences is not intimacy. And so what we'll do is we'll make God in our image to fit the way we want him to look, so we may have that intimacy with him, which is not true intimacy with the Father. Where does Jesus lead us to if we follow him? He leads us
Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the except through. Where does Jesus lead you? To the Father. As God spoke to Moses and said, I want to take you into the presence of the Father that you may have intimacy. And out of that place, can we go to the next slide? Out of that place, Moses brought what? The Word of God. Are you with me this evening?
So basically it boils down to this. God is calling us to come into his throne room to worship.
And he wants us to be worshippers. And out of that place of worship and intimacy, God's then calling us into a place of intercession, into a place of declaration.
When we come out, you see, when Jesus has moved us in, once we go in before the Father, see, Christ has made it possible that we can come before the Father, we can come into the Holy of Holies. As Greg was mentioning and speaking the difference between the tabernacle of David and the tabernacle of Moses. And we are able to go into the most high place, the Holy of Holies. And in that place, God can come and speak to us. And in that place, we can go out, and then we follow Christ, and then we declare the Word of God.
So many of us struggle to see breakthroughs in our lives because we don't understand that principle. I will follow Jesus anyway. Most of us was willing to say that. If God sends me to wherever, Lord, I will go. And I know many of us here had that mentality. But somewhere along the line, we got a little hurt. We got a little bit upset, a bit disappointed. We have a little bit of fear of God, not a healthy fear, a fear that's been scared of God. And out of that scaredness of God, we struggle to be able to go into the Holy of Holies. Some of us have fathers that have really on this earth let us down. That was really a bad example. And they just weren't able, because of their life and because of what they've gone through, they were not able to show us the love of the Father. And because of that, we've gotten hurt, we've gotten scarred. Some of us sit with girlfriends or boyfriends that have really let us down. Men that have let us down in our lives. And because of that, it's made us look tainted at the Father. And so we'll follow Jesus wherever, except to places of intimacy. Because we actually fear it.
When I was a while back in the Philippines, most of you know the story, the Lord spoke to me and said that he's calling me to become an intercessor again. And I said to Jesus, it was the worst time of my life. First of all, I need to explain to you, I was man alone on the biggest island I've ever been in my life, in the Philippines, after a cyclone came through and left nothing. Okay, so just imagine nothing. Okay, you know, like these horror movies where the whole city is like destroyed, like that. I was there. And in this time, I'm working hours that starts like 4 o'clock in the morning. We wake up and we get to bed at 12 o'clock at night. We arrive at home at 11, maybe half past 11, 12 o'clock if you're lucky, you can get into bed, and then 4 o'clock you've got to be up. So that you can hurry up and wait all day. We drove crazy kilos on crazy roads, what was left of roads. There's places where there are no more bridges. The bridges have been washed away, so they've made these, I don't know what you call them. So there's this faith movement of thank you, Jesus, that if we fall now, tata hasi hasi. Okay? At that stage, Matt and myself have been married 2 days. So, about 2 months or 3 months, I can't remember. But it was really short. And so I was missing my wife. It was this crazy time in the Philippines. And then God comes and speaks to you. And there he said to me, he seeks that place that I must seek him in intimacy, in intercession. And for a week, I manifested. For those of you that don't mean no manifest, just means I said no. And then I still thought, Bernie, did you just say no to God? And I said, yes. And for a week, I weep before the Lord. And I said, Lord, I will go to every disaster in every nation for the rest of my life, but I'm not going back to a place of intercession, to sit in the Holy of Holies, to hear from you, to bring in and to change spiritual atmospheres. And so it took God a week for me to get to the place where I could surrender and say, Lord, I seek intimacy. And it's not like I didn't have intimacy, hear me? It's not like I didn't seek God. It was a place He was calling me into a deeper intimacy with Him. And then I said yes to the call. And when I came back, Tim said, Bernie, will you take over intercession? And I obviously said yes. God's already spoken to me. And we've been blessed, and God's really done amazing things at intercession. And really excited to walk with real men and women of God. I can wake up early in the morning and we pray together and we see what God's doing, what God's speaking to us. But God had to come and do something in my life. How's that practical in your life? When I was in Somerset West in the church there, we had a whole lot of teachers. And they have primary school kids, and if you know anything about these days, primary school kids is absolute a sea of madness, okay? And this one lady, she would be in small group, and she'd be just weeping and weeping. And I got just over her weeping. I'm sorry, my pastoral heart at week 7 just left. Like, I felt really sorry for her, but I just said, Jesus, we need to make a difference now. And I sat and I got... I was overseeing a few small groups there, and I brought all the teachers together. I said, right, this is what we're going to do from now on. You're going to go into your classroom before school, before anyone arrives. You're going to go earlier. And then you're going to get your Hillsong DVD, CD, your whatever you have, and you're going to go worship God in your classroom. And then you're going to anoint your classroom. And you're going to seek intimacy in your classroom on behalf of your children. And then you're going to start demanding divine order in your classroom. You're going to pray for every child. You're going to ask God His heart for every child. Crazy story. A few weeks later, starting to get feedback. Bernie, you won't believe, it's changed. Kids have changed. It's like they're human now. Took authority. This one child, he never shuts up, always shouting, throwing tantrums. I prayed against those tantrums. No more tantrums. They started getting words of knowledge. Where the Lord had said, this child is struggling, it's being abused. This child is being bullied. Could start praying. Could meet the parents. Could challenge the parents. Great place for ministry. God calls us to do the same in our workplace. God calls us to do the same in the complex you stay in, the house you stay in, the flats, by your friends. He's given us a place where we can bring intimacy into our workplace and change the atmosphere. It's time that we come in and say boldly, Lord, I will follow you in the intimacy. You see, what's beautiful about those intimate moments is God's got pulls. You guys have ever read that scripture about the pulls? Don't give your pulls to swine. Do you know that's the same what Jesus does with us? Have you ever spent real time with the Lord and the next thing, He just drops His pull? You go, like when that scripture jumps at you, you go, wow. I can tell you that Greg had a wow moment with Amos 9:11. His life was transformed. It was a pearl that God gave him. And it transformed his life. He knew the reason God had put him on this earth. He knew this is the call of my life. It was a pearl that God gave him, and he was able to receive it. The Lord has pearls for us. That's why we seek Him. See, how do we do this? How do I go from being a place where I'm so legalistic, I'm so just, I'll follow Jesus, but it's, you know, what is my sin? What is the, you know, you rattle through the list, or, you know, I'm sick, so what's wrong? There must be sin in my life. So, Lord, what must I do? Must I join the barista team? Must I join the connect team? What more can I do for you just to be okay? And we laugh, but so often that's what we do with Jesus. We are really bad negotiators with Jesus, because he doesn't understand negotiations. It's finished, it's done. We can come into the inner courts. We can go before the Father, the Holy of Holies. We can hear what God says. You see, so often we have obstacles in our lives. And let's say my laptop is an obstacle, because sometimes it really is. And I have this obstacle in my life. And most of us, what we do is when we have an obstacle, we go, Lord, this computer, if you don't fix it, I'm going to put it through that window in the name of Jesus. And we think that's spiritual and that's awesome. And nothing happens. And it still gives problems. Now, please, I'm not saying the laptop, I'm just using the example as an obstacle. All right? But we pray with our obstacles and we come before the Father. And can we go to the one? Greg so nicely went through this and explained it. But right here is where the priest is. And most of us come to this point where we stand before the priest. We have our sheep. You see, what happens is you go buy a sheep, and then you pay a lot of money, and there's a lot of bleating, and you bring the sheep before the high priest, and the high priest says, sorry, dude, this thing's not perfect. Cheers. You say, but I paid a whole lot of money for this. He says, well, I can't help you. And then you want to go back and beat the guy up that said it was a perfect sheep, but it's not. So we come to the outer court with God. And there's so much noise, and so much distraction, so much going on, that we can't hear what God says. We want to deal with it there. We want to deal with the obstacle there. But God says, Jesus says, follow me. And he takes us into the inner court, where there's peace, where we worship God, and God in adoration, and we see Yahweh, we see the mighty God, awesome, beautiful, and perfect. And we come out of that place, one, we realize it's not really an obstacle at all, or two, when we speak to it, it changes, because we come with a the perspective of what Christ says about it, and we can declare the truth. As Moses brought down his tablets, he could say, this is the truth. We can say, this is the truth, obstacle, in the name of Jesus. Where those teachers could go, pity, at the moment you are my biggest curse, but God says, you're a blessing. God has called you to be an accountant. You're going to change people's lives. In the name of Jesus, I declare it over you. And those teachers could see those things happening in these children's lives at a young age already. So God has called you in your workplace to do that. Do you know the best way to deal with a difficult boss? Is to pray for him. Is to go ask, what does God say about my boss? Lord, Mr. So-and-so, Lord, you know that I have a baseball bat. And you know the temptation it is, Lord. But what do you think? What do you say about Mr. So-and-so? And then out of that place, Lord, I call that person to salvation. I call that person into a place of divine order. So God has given us a strategy, and I believe this is the momentum, that part of the momentum that God's trying to teach us this year, of learning to come in with worship, as you see on the Sunday evenings. That's why we start with worship, so we can come into the Holy of Holies, and that's why we bring the word afterwards, that we can declare, this is the Lord. This is what God says. This is who we are. This is where we're going. This is what God says about Cape Town. This is what God says about the Lord's. This is what God says about Ellen Ray. God is calling us this evening to bless that we follow Christ and be true followers, that we may have intimacy with Christ, but true intimacy. Can we stand this evening? I'm just going to pull up the band. Can we find that last slide, please? The dying on ourselves, the letting go, the taking up the cross. It might sound like a really woe is me thing, but as God spoke to that rich young ruler and said to him, I've got something better for you. Leave those possessions and follow me. Follow me truly. You see, he is a man unto our feet. He will never let you go. He will never let you down. He cannot. He's good. And although there were situations where it felt like he wasn't, and felt like he left you, he didn't. Our perceptions cause us to think in certain ways, and it makes us bring God down from almighty and perfect. And it makes us make him in our image. Broken. And when we speak to a broken God can't fix things. But when we become before the true Father, who is infinite, perfect, all wise, who has always been and always will be, he will give you the answers and the strategy for you to get through what God's calling you to get through. Dear Lord, we come and this evening we come and humble ourselves before you. And we ask that you will just bring us in a place where, Lord, like Greg was just sharing, that we have the heart of David. And that we understand that your heart is in all step in. That curtain, that veil was torn, Lord Christ, when you died on the cross, it was torn, that we may come in. I pray, Lord, that we will trust you ultimately. That we will be true disciples. And that we will disciple others and walk with others and have a heart for others. Forgive us, Lord, for making you in our image. Forgive us for us making you human. Where you are God, perfect in every way. I pray this evening, Lord, that we will really be able to step in, to experience those pulls in the inner room. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will help us build that hunger, to hunger for intimacy with you. Hunger to spend time with you. Hunger to see Cape Town transformed. Our friends transformed. Our family transformed. Our city transformed. Our businesses transformed. Our neighbors transformed. Sing a song, and what we're going to do is, if God's speaking to you as we sing together, let's take hands, let's walk together, let's say, this is what God's doing in my life, this is where I'm at, and I want to encourage you to find someone that you trust, and say to him, this is where I'm at. We are so struggling as a generation to be real with one another. I want to encourage you and say, Let's just be real. Let's just go, Lord, I'm broken. But listen, I'm broken in this area of my life. I struggle with this, I struggle with that. Walk with me, let's get this right. I seek intimacy, to be intimate with God. So this evening, as we worship together, I'd like to invite you, come and speak to God. Come and kneel down, and just commune with God, speak to God. Be open. Say, Lord, I seek, I want.